So, I'm Ray. And who is Ray? Why is Ray? I'm an OpenBSD developer. I also work on OpenRCS and OpenCVS, which I will introduce shortly. I use CVS for OpenBSD and other stuff, and I also use Subversion for work. So I know a little bit about Subversion control. Just a brief overview. It keeps track of file changes. It lets you answer questions such as, how did the file look like yesterday? What did the project look like last year? And most importantly, who broke the tree? Common commands are checking in files, which keeps track of what that file looked like at that point in time. Checking out files, which once you check in several times a file, you can check out any version of it, sometime in the past or whatever. You can see different changes between the file to see what kind of changes took place in the last year or what one person in particular did to the file. Generally, that's called diffing a file. You can see why files were changed in the logs to figure out, basically what this weird change looked like, what this weird change was for, or whatever. Every version control system has a repository. It keeps the current copies of the files, it keeps the past copies of files, it shows what changed in the files using the diffs, and it explains why changes were done in a certain way. So this keeps a whole history of all your files. So you want it to be secure, you want it to be stable, you want it to be robust. You don't want files to get lost. You don't want your history to be lost. You want it to be recoverable in case of failure, in case there's a network outage or whatever. You don't want stuff to break just because, you have a crappy internet connection because you're stealing Wi-Fi from someone. You don't want that to happen. So in the beginning, we had RCS, a very early version control system. It only operated on one file at a time. It had a local repository, which meant that it was on the same file system. In fact, it was on the same directory as whatever file you kept. It was a simple text file format because, most Unix people like text files. People could look through it and actually understand, for the most part, what it meant, what each line did, whatever. And this was the four common commands that I had mentioned earlier. Along came CVS, which is RCS's successor. It handled multiple files and directories. It allowed remote connections to have a repository in one server and have multiple computers connecting to it to commit stuff. It used the same file format as RCS, except it kept it in a directory tree. And needless to say, it was very popular. Subversion is supposed to be CVS's successor. It is made by the same people. It supports renaming files, which RCS and CVS did not really do. It supports atomic commits. So if you were in the middle of a commit and then your network dropped, it wouldn't go through at all. It would either went through completely or not. Whereas CVS had this issue where if you had a commit interrupted by network issues, it would just have it halfway committed. And you would have half of your change in and half of your change not made. It also introduced a new repository format, two of them in fact. At first it used a Berkeley DB, stored everything into a binary file, a database. And then later on they came out with the FSFS, which is similar to the CVS repository layout, but it's also got a lot more data to it, so it's also new. Okay, so I come from OpenBSD. Their slogan is free, functional, secure. They emphasize on security. They store the whole operating system in the CVS repository. It's mostly BSD license, and you can contact me at ray@openbsd.org if you want. OpenCBS is written by the OpenBSD people. It too is pretty functional and secure. To a certain extent, it emphasizes security in contrast to the original CBS implementation. It's BSD license, and unfortunately the GNU version is not really maintained, as I said. Most of the developers have gone on to Subversion or otherwise. The reason for developing OpenCBS is we feel that its protocol is not really broken. It works. The thing is that the original implementation had its issues. It's no longer maintained. And on top of that, it wasn't really programmed with security in mind. So there are a lot of issues lurking in the code that are hard to fix without a complete rewrite. The basic commands are still there. I mean, we don't really need rename. I mean, how often do you rename a file, really? I mean, it's not every single day. I mean, you don't rename a file multiple times in a day. You know, if it were that big of a deal, then, you know, it would have come sooner. But yes, it would be nice to do renaming files, but it's not an absolute necessity. For the most part, it's usable, and it's been useful for the past decade or two, or however long it's been around. Then there's the issue of repository migration pain. Whenever you migrate a repository, there is always going to be differences in their systems, which is why you're migrating in the first place. Those differences don't really carry on very well. They don't carry through very well to the new system. And you don't want to lose any of the data. You don't want to risk corrupting your database by doing that. And it's also, CBS is still using the RCS file format, which makes it simple to detect if there are any errors and fix them or check it out or whatever. You can always use the RCS tool to manipulate them if there's anything big that needs to fix. So in developing OpenCBS, we took a small step in developing OpenRCS, which was to re-implement the RCS tool so that we could correctly parse and generate RCS files. These tools are all simple. There were one command to do one specific thing, so it made it easier to develop and verify. Well, since we developed them, we replaced the GNU versions in the tree, and we maintain it ourselves. And we trust the code a lot more. Yes?
We launched code your OpenRCS now.
I don't really count.
Is it all done from scratch?
Yes. I mean, otherwise there would be licensing issues. But we occasionally peek into the code to see what specifically the GNU RCS did on corner cases when there was a file that was already there and you decided to check out a file and you had no write permissions on the file. Certain things like that, like GNU RCS would completely overwrite the file immediately. We tried to be more cautious about that. But for the most part, we just used it and tried to emulate the behavior. So Subversion, a lot of people use it because it's maintained right now. That's part of the reason CBS is no longer maintained, so you gotta use it. It supports renaming and atomic commits and change sets. Change sets are sort of related to atomic commits. Every commit you make in CBS updates the revision number for that file, so you can't really keep track of whether these files are all updated in the same commit at a time. Subversion tries to change that by making every commit a new revision number, and so it allows you to keep track of like revision 1 influence these three files or whatever. At the same time, it's also very complex. It introduced a lot of new features, and not necessarily all of them were very useful or whatever. It introduced a lot of complexity. They tried to do a lot of things through HTTP so that it would be easier for people who couldn't connect to the transportation or whatever. But in this day and age, I mean, I don't really understand why you really need to worry about port blocking that particular deal. It's not that big of a deal. Just use SSH. It's pretty proven, pretty robust.
Well, wouldn't you want to provide that? Because you might have the developers or whoever's committing and maintaining the tree, but then on the other end, you might want to have other people who want to look at the data itself and just read the data without using CVS or anything. Right? I mean,
well, I'm talking about connecting to the CVS. The subversion repository using HTTP, like doing commission and all that stuff.
Oh yeah,
I mean, I'm not talking about like browsing the web, right, like CVS web. Because well, you have CVS web, you can do the same thing with that.
Right. I'm just saying there is a case for
HTTP. Well, I'm talking about using changing the protocol of connecting to the repository.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Sorry.
Yeah. And. It's got a lot of new features and stuff, but like it's also like they seem to take a kitchen sink approach to it. It's like every single thing that you couldn't do in CVS, they try to put into Subversion, and this makes it incredibly hard to secure, of course. As I said, this is HTTP. They add HTTP protocol. It's new. It's not really tested as thoroughly as SSH. It's riding on top of HTTP, which wasn't really meant to do commits or version control in any way. It's just a one-way dialog, pretty much. And the benefits, I don't know. I just think that they could have just done port forwarding and gotten it over with, you know, anything. CVS and Subversion both support SSH, luckily, which is secure, reliable, and it's been time tested. I mean, people are trying to hack into SSH all the time. They want to get into your network. They want to get into that, and it's been pretty hard to crack. The backend of Subversion originally started with BerkeleyDB. It was a binary file. BerkeleyDB is an old format, but even though it's old, it's got a lot of issues that are well known. It's got architectural problems. If you try to move the repository from one computer to another, it might not work because it's a different architecture or whatever. If you try to put your repository on a MFS or any sort of remote file system, there could be issues. And also, you're trying to store the data into a database now, so there's some conversion of revision to database format kind of thing. There are some nuances and stuff. So there's some possibility for new code, new bugs creeping in. It came out with FSFS to deal with a lot of the problems with BerkeleyDB. It's also new, and each revision is one file. But that's about it. The biggest problem is that it's relatively new. It needs time to mature. CVS, on the other hand, uses RCF files, which is simple text files. They're easy to recover. There are countless times when GNU's CVS had crapped out and messed up some of the repository, and we had to manually go in and edit them to restore the structure consistency. And we have the RCS tools to do some manual work. We don't always have to resort to using a text editor. And the format is actually extensible. There are attributes that you can define inside of the file. I'm sure there are ways for us to stick in new attributes later on to extend CVS if necessary, but right now we are trying to just re-implement CVS. Contains essentials. And some some Subversion features can be copied. Atomic commits has been written, but we haven't committed it yet. We're still trying to fix it, make sure that it works properly.
Can you explain atomic commits real quick?
Okay, so basically a ton of commits means that when you commit something, it either goes in completely or it doesn't. So if you were, say, on an airplane and you were trying to do a commit, and then a couple of the files went in, but then others didn't yet, and your network connection broke, then the old CBS would leave you screwed with like three files edited, but three others not. So basically that's what it is. So,
how do you confirm it?
How do you confirm it?
Yeah, just server give you back a bit to say, yeah, I got it, that's really
well, basically.
Just at a high level, right?
How do you confirm? So I'm not really sure, actually.
When you make a command, using really high level language, how do you know that it's an atomic command that has been done? Does the server give you back a confirmation? Is it as simple as that?
Well, just like any other Unix utility, I suppose, if it doesn't warn, then it went through.
Well, actually, at least when I use Subversion, let's say you're committing 50 files. You might go in you can see it going through each of those 50 files.
Yeah.
And then it gets down to the end and it prints out dot, transmitting, blah, blah, blah. Mm-hmm. And if you're committing a really big thing and maybe you did something like one of your files was out of date, like the current directory was out of date. It will hit, and nothing will go through. If you succeed, it will. Something revision 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Then you get a message back. And if you don't get, you either get a message back or you get an error message that you have to deduce.
Well, I mean, even CBS does that currently. If you try to commit something and there are out of date files, and it says that the certain file is out of date, and tell you to CBS up first.
Yeah.
But there are a lot of features that we have in mind. But first and foremost, we want to develop the basic features first, make sure that it's robust. And then we'll add the features, the new features, some features from other version control systems. So in summary, complexity is the enemy of security. And by implementing it in a simpler manner, we make it easier to secure. Our repository is our kingdom, basically. We need to protect it. We need to make sure that it doesn't get messed up in any way. CBS has been around for a while, we understand it very well, where we can re-implement it with relative ease. It's still extensible, we don't have to necessarily switch to a whole new system in order to get the improvements that we want. And of course, we want to protect the repository. Any questions? You in the back?
I think
maybe
you might have heard it, backwards compatibility.
We plan on being backwards compatible, of course. If we do implement new features, then backwards compatibility will be thought of. We try to maximize that first.
Do you keep your code in OpenCBS?
Not yet. We are still developing it. It's not ready yet. Not really. For the most part, the client is okay, but the server needs more time to mature. It's not really ready for the content yet, unfortunately.
But OpenCBS. You already have the OpenRCS port.
Yes. OpenRCS has OpenRCS is OpenRCS enabled and that's the OpenBSD repository by now. Question. OpenRCS is enabled, but the OpenBSD repository does not run on it. It runs on the CBS. the junior CVS still. We haven't crossed the threshold where we feel confident enough, but implementing all the necessary features and stuff.
Once it is ready, will it run on any operating system?
Well, to a certain extent, we try to write it portably. We try to keep our code portable, and it would be a good test of the code to run it on operating systems as well, such as OpenSSH and OpenBGPD, all the other applications.
Will it run, say, on Linux?
Yes. We will try to keep it portable enough to port to Linux. But initially, of course, we're testing it mainly on OpenBSD, but if there are any tweaks that are necessary, we'll do that. Okay.
Can you comment on any way with regards to performance between OpenCVS and Subversion in particular? And I ask this in the context of like people who do really perverted stuff, like ridiculous systems at large scales, just weird ideas, weird applications that push it beyond its original intended use. So it sounds like everything from a user land perspective, from the way you guys are designing it, about the whole thing, it seems like it's pretty cool because it's standalone. It's a Unix tool. It's not like Subversion, no matter how great it is, isn't very Unix-ish. It's very complicated, very hard to it. It's not a singular thing that you can use in a bigger picture. So from a user perspective, this looks great. From a performance perspective, do you have any experience with this?
Right now, it is faster. I can say that it's faster for what the things that it can do. It is faster than Junior CVS, but I haven't done any comparison with Subversion. I know that Subversion does a lot of things on the back end. It just sort of tells it what it wants to do and then says go, and then the back end handles most of the work. So from the user's point of view, it's like, oh, it's really snappy. We haven't done anything like that yet. We're still just basically trying to implement all the missing features and make a robust replacement for now. Performance hasn't been something that we're looking into. I mean, except for terrible performance, yeah, we'll look into to see why.
It's not a concern. I mean, it's obviously not a concern.
We're not looking into that yet at the moment.
What's the largest OpenCVS repository you've created so far?
I personally have not really created a large repository, but one of the other developers has created a replica of the OpenBSD repository and operated on it using OpenCVS.
Also, does OpenCVS have the same branching and tagging functionality as GNU-CVS?
Not yet. Branching and tagging are stuff that we are working on. Yes.
You said we. How many guys are there?
That's the next slide.
mainly it's George, Niall, Xavier, and me. Any other questions?
Who's Jen?
She's not here.
NYCS.
Yes.
I know you're not under any schedule, but do you have kind of a loosey-goosey guess on when you think you might have it? Are you hoping to have it done by 2010?
It would be nice if it could be ready to be tested more widely by the next release, but I don't believe that it will be enabled by the next release. It still needs to be tested very thoroughly, of course.
So with that, are there downloads for other, you know, is there self-contained download for what people say using FreeBSD to give it a world?
You could
try to break it.
You can do a CVS checkout of the directory. from the OpenDSD, the non-CDS sources.
Okay.
But no, it's not really great for primetime use. That's really the reason why we haven't packaged it all nice and pretty for other people to use it yet.
Okay.
We have a couple of clients who are using SDA, for similar purposes in terms of development, but also the other one has expanded it, where they use a lot of the documentation is kept in SPN. But it's kind of funny because, and again, this is like kind of stepping back from the whole picture. So this is almost like the open SSH model in the sense that you guys are developing this as a way of, cross-platform, interoperable, and hopefully we'll conquer the revision control world someday. And I'm can't make a joke, but I'm serious in the sense that like we OpenSSH kind of took off in 98 or whatever, and then it kind of branched out and now everybody uses it. So like if someone says SSH, everybody goes, it's like shortcut for saying OpenSSH. Is it the same kind of thing? And if so, going back kind of what Ike was talking about before, actually being a one tool that does what it does, as for Unix principles, does really good, but only does that. What other functionality do you see? I know people do funky things with RCS systems in terms of, not just obvious development purposes, but documentation, config files, whatever else, but also in terms of maintaining websites, complex websites through, directly maintaining repositories of just information in general. But are you guys thinking on that end at all? It's just totally loopy and we're still waiting for 2010.
It's totally loopy.
Okay.
No. Well, the main thing is that CBS has gotten a lot of, there were a bunch of CBS vulnerabilities back in 2004, whenever the project started. And nobody was really doing anything to make sure that these things didn't happen anymore. We didn't want the repository to be running on software that was insecure. We are trying to make a secure operating system, and we're storing our files on an insecure version control system. We're trying to fix that. That was the main motivation for it, because the source is very important to us. As far as taking control of the revision world, I don't think we really have plans for that. It's more like, we satisfy whatever needs to be come up.
Does anybody remember, what was it, 3 years ago, Debian? I don't know if it was just their FTP servers that got compromised, or was it actually CBS? Does anybody remember that?
Yeah, somebody got moved files and changed processes.
Right, but was that via the RCS system? Actually, Linux doesn't really have
it.
Okay, that was the pure social engineering. Okay, I just didn't know if that was a revision control question or was the rest of the operating system vulnerability.
If other people were to join your project, what skill sets would they have to have?
You don't really need that many skills, as long as you can read the code and figure out why.
What's the code written in?
C.
Okay.
If there's anything that you want, if you are trying to use CDS, OpenCDS, and you wanted to make any changes to it, if you don't like the current behavior, you find a certain feature that's lacking, you can look into the code and start making changes. That's how I got started in it, basically. I tried to compile it, and then I compiled it, I tried to run it, and I immediately found some missing features, so I implemented it, sent the diff out to the developers, and they were like, hey, maybe you should come help us out. So.
Did you look at any other revision control systems, like Jeep or Linux, or anything beyond the stuff working?
No, I don't really use too many of the other systems. I've heard good things about I've never tried to use. Somebody said something?
Mercurial?
Yes. I've heard good things about Mercurial, but I haven't really used it. Mostly I use CBS because I do a lot of development at OpenBSD, so that's where I get a lot of my experience from. I used to use OpenCM, but I've never used Git. My next slide is, please donate. We do hackathons every year. One is coming up in end of May. And a lot of the development takes place during the hackathons. And it would be good if some people helped out with hardware costs, bandwidth costs, anything. Without OpenBSD, there wouldn't be an OpenCDS, and it would sort of die. So whatever you guys can help out with, it'll be good. And that's about it.
Thank you very much.
What's up?
Is there a formal CBS specification to follow, or you guys just like look at the old way and try to make the new one do exactly what the old one did?
Well, there's a CBS manual, and that pretty much documents a lot of the behavior that's expected. I don't think it was ever drafted as a formal specification, so mainly we look at CBS, the original CBS, as a guideline. Because we wanted to preserve compatibility, of course. So that's basically what we look at.
So, I mean, when working together, you guys basically just discuss how you want it. You know, you look at how it works. I'm thinking like large teams of developers, they like to create like a specification so they don't always have to come back and ask, you know, how it's supposed to, what are we supposed to be trying to accomplish? Well, we've already decided that in a formal specification.
It's pretty nomadic, I suppose. Each developer goes about doing what he feels he can help out with. And we don't really have a formal design documentation or milestones or development plans or anything. You just got to jump it down.
Congratulations.
Big checklist.
Big checklist, let you know.
Thank you.